Three, four!
Hi, this is Michael Simon, and you're on the road with Dane at WGN.
Three, four!
It's 720 WGN, on the road with Dane, and on the line with us is quite possibly Cleveland's favorite son, acclaimed author, restaurateur, James Beard Award-winning Iron Chef, and star of Burgers, Brew, and Q on the Food Network, and of course, the huge ABC hit, The Chew. It is the one and only Chef Michael Simon. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you? Wow, you made me sound so fancy.
Well,
I like it.
We know you're not a fancy guy all the time, but fans, you know, they get a lot of the Michael Simon that they enjoy through the books, TV, and of course your Ergo Chef knife line that we love. But with 20 plus restaurants around the country, people are able to get to taste you firsthand and in person. And now you've got a very cool new spot coming up in Atlantic City I know you're excited about, called Angeline by Michael Simon. Let's talk about it.
Oh, man, I'm very stoked. You know, it's for a couple reasons. One, it's kind of our first big venture outside of the Midwest, which is exciting to us. And I've been friends with the people that at the Borgata for a long time now. I've been doing events with them. And so, you know, there's always been a little bit of a relationship there. But one of the things that really excites me is, you know, my mother is half Greek and half Sicilian. So I grew up on a lot of both Sicilian and, like, American-Italian food. And my first restaurant jobs as a cook, a sous chef, and as an executive chef were at Italian restaurants. So to kind of 30 years down the line go backwards a little bit is really exciting to me.
Well, you know, on the shows that you do, you know, Burgers, Brew, and Q, and you just mentioned it, you're not a, you know, an overly fancy guy, but you look at some of the pictures that you've got, some of the ambiance there, it's kind of leaning towards the fine dining, sophisticated side, and so excited about that. Why did you decide to go with maybe that upscale thing for this one?
Well, you know, I mean, fine dining is really where we made our mark in the beginning. You know, our restaurant Ola just turned 20 years old, you know, so it's still really the restaurant I hang my hat in. So, you know, we've done fine dining, we've done kind of fine dining casual, and we've done quick serve. And I like doing all those things. You know, I just feel like it gives us the ability to reach a lot of different people and do, you know, different styles of food, but really always with the same, like, whether we do something casual or whether we do something fine dining, the way we approach the food is always the same. You know, it's got to be local, it's got to be organic, it's got to be raised the right way, you know, and then we go from there on is it going to be food that you could, you know, pick up with your hand and eat in a paper wrapper, or is it going to be, you know, sit down with china and silver and have a nice dinner? But, you know, the thing that's really exciting about Angeline to me is so much of the food, like there's over a handful of recipes on the menu that are my mom's recipes.
Wow.
You know, my grandmother's recipes, you know, so it for me, it tears at the heartstrings a little bit. And what I've always loved about growing up in a Mediterranean family is, you know, food was just a huge, huge part of our lives. So to sit around the table and to share and to eat together as a group is really important to me, and that's some of the stuff that we're really going to convey at Angeline.
You know, one of the things that I think your fans and people who love the restaurants love about what it is that you do, and you mentioned it, is that you do have this really thoughtful approach, not only about the food and the recipes and of course the diners in mind, but also, you know, the whole local sustainable. You guys have been doing that for a long time. Now, the restaurant business is hard. Even to have one sustained restaurant over a period of time is really quite a success story. To have multiple restaurants and then have them at a distance from you is really, really hard. So what is it that you're doing, or what do you attribute the success to be able to do that, to keep these places up going and successful all over the place?
For us, it's the people that work with us. You know, we just have spectacular employees. We've been so fortunate over the years. And, you know, God, my assistant, you know, Rebecca Yodi's been with me 22 years. Our manager, person that's going to be the general manager at Angeline, has been with us for 26 years. My corporate chef's been with me 14 years, you know, and I mean, though, that's really what makes a big difference for us is the staff. I mean, you know, you're only as good as the people around you. And we've always been really blessed to have great, great people around us.
So, and Angeline is out there in Atlantic City at the Borgata, and you know that people from New York and from all sorts of cities around the East are going to be making that road trip to Atlantic City. You know they're going to stop in and see you. Here on the road here in WGN, we feature a lot of those kind of different road trips, whether they're culinary destinations or family vacations and things like that. And so we did want to ask you, did you ever do that? Did you and your family, you know, did you ever like pile in the car, head to the Grand Canyon or anything like that?
like the Griswolds. Right. I grew up pretty kind of a middle class kid, so we didn't take a ton of trips as a kid. We did a lot of things as a family, but they were usually a little bit closer to home. As an adult, I've got to travel a lot more and kind of been able to see different parts of the globe, which has been really, really exciting for me. But a lot of my neighbors did those family trips. I heard about them. They were great.
And here's the other thing, too, and you know that you are guilty of drawing people to Cleveland, not only as a great ambassador for all the things that are going on the food side, of course, but the sports and everything else happening in Cleveland, that it is a road trip destination. We have people around Chicago saying they want to head to Cleveland, certainly hit some of your spots.
Oh, man, for sure.
For those people, listeners, that want to head to Cleveland on a road trip this spring and summer, what should they hit other than, of course, all your places?
Well, I mean, I think the Rock Hall is obviously an incredible thing to hit. The Art Museum is nothing short of spectacular. Our orchestra is, you know, people even outside of Cleveland say, some people say the best in the United States, or certainly mentioned as one of the best in the United States. Chicago fans should have no problems coming to see an Indians game since the Cubs beat us in the World Series, but they should be very excited about that. I actually watched, I was at Game 7 of the World Series with Paul Kahn, one of your great Chicago chefs and one of my dearest friends. We had a deal midway through the season that if it went to game, because we knew if the Indians and Cubs were in the World Series and it went to Game 7, Cleveland was going to have home field advantage because of the All-Star game. Right. So Paul and I had a deal. If it goes to Game 7, I will get us tickets and we will sit there and watch the game. So my best friend has front row seats on the third base line for tickets. So myself, Paul Kahn, Mario Batali, and Tony Anselmo all watched Game 7 literally right behind the third baseman.
Oh, now did you guys have a support? I mean, because obviously, you know, a supportive community in the chef world. Was Paul Kahn, did he give you a shoulder to kind of cry on, or
absolutely. As I said to everybody, I'm like, and I think Chicago would have felt this way too. We were the Indians and the Cubs are the two of the most cursed franchises in sports. So it was like, if I was going to lose, I was okay. You know, as much as I wanted the Indians to win, with the Cubs winning, I was actually okay with it because I know what the people of Chicago have went through too. And Paul was very supportive. He was very excited, but very supportive of my sadness.
Well, I think that's probably safety-minded too. You know, he was there in the middle of a lot of desperation, but what an awesome series. I mean, we're like huge Cubs fans, obviously. We're season ticket holders here in Chicago, and it was amazing. You know, but we would have been, I don't want to say okay, because it's hard. You know, it's great to win.
Right.
But it was so nice to see, like, you know, if it would have been like the Yankees or something, you know, the evil empire.
Oh, yeah.
Horrible.
That's what I said. If we would have lost to the Dodgers, I would have jumped off, you know, Carnegie Bridge, but... But, you know, losing to the Cubs, it was all good by me.
We know people are going to head out to Angeles by Michael Syme. We know people are going to take road trips to Cleveland. One of the other things that we do on the show, too, is your first car. I know that your dad, I think I read in a Motor Trend article that you had done. Obviously, you're a big car guy on the SUV side and a lot of cars. But what was your first car and any kind of funny stories that you have along those lines?
My father, you know, worked for Ford Motor Company. So we were a Ford family as a kid. So he used to get, you know, he started very low and he kind of worked his way up. And so he used to get a lease car every year and you didn't have to pay insurance for the lease car. So my first car was, and I only had it for 2 days, was a 1985 Mustang GT. And I got a ticket going 97 miles an hour on the freeway.
Nice.
I then went from, for 2 days, I was the coolest kid in school with my 1985 Mustang GT. 2 days after that, I had a 1975 LTD. That literally was so big you didn't park it, you docked it. It was like, it was the biggest car in the world. I used to pick up my friends to go to school in the morning, and we fit 8 guys in this car, no problem.
Michael, isn't it amazing how those old big cars, you got, even as a kid, you got good at parking them, even though you sit in one of those today. It's like, how did you do it?
Oh, yeah. My wife still laughs at me to this day. She's like, you're unbelievable. You could parallel park anywhere. I'm like, I learned how to park with a 1975 LTD. The thing was like 18 feet long.
Yeah, try parking that in New York right now as you're there working on filming The Chew. And so before we let you go, and thanks so much for everything that you're doing and being part of the program, but let us know like where people can get all the information on all the different restaurants and, of course, the new one coming up and the broadcast schedule. That's probably foodnetwork.com for Burgers Brew & Q, and then I guess abc.com for the other, but where can they go?
Yeah, you know, they could go to thechew.com for all the Chew stuff. They could go to foodnetwork.com for all the Food Network stuff. If you go to Michael Simon Restaurants, you know, that will give you all the information about all our restaurants, or lolabistro.com will also link you into all of that to get information for all of our restaurants, the cookbooks, what's kind of going on in my day-to-day life. And I try to do all the social media like you're supposed to do these days, but if you follow me on Twitter at Chef Simon, S-Y-M-O-N, I really keep that pretty updated, and I'm pretty responsive on Twitter.
I know people are going to follow you to Twitter. They're going to follow you to Atlantic City, and they're going to follow in your footsteps and have a great time in Cleveland as well. So we'll let you get back to filming the Chew, and thanks so much for being on the show today.
Oh, man, thanks for having me. Always fun.